Blog Talk Radio.
I didn't know that was...
Thank you very much. My fellow Americans, my first and highest duty as president is to defend our great country and the American people. I swore an oath to uphold the laws of our nation, and that is exactly what I will do. All Americans were rightly sickened and revolted by the brutal death of George Floyd. My administration is fully committed that for George and his family, justice will be served. He will not have died in vain. But we cannot allow the righteous cries and peaceful protesters to be drowned out by an angry mob. The biggest victims of the rioting are peace-loving citizens in our poorest communities, and as their president, I will fight to keep them safe. I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters. But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others. A number of state and local governments have failed to take necessary action to safeguard their residents. Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street, or the woman in upstate New York, viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes. A police precinct has been overrun here in the nation's capital. The Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African-American enforcement hero, was shot and killed. These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror, the destruction of innocent life, and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction, cooperation, not contempt, security, not anarchy, healing, not hatred, justice, not chaos. This is our mission, and we will succeed 100%. We will succeed. Our country always wins. That is why I am taking immediate presidential action to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America. I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights. Therefore, the following measures are going into effect immediately. First, we are ending the riots and lawlessness that has spread throughout our country. We will end it now. Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace. As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced. Those who threaten innocent life and property will be arrested, detained, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence. One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And once that is restored and fully restored, we will help you, we will help your business, and we will help your family. America is founded upon the rule of law. It is the foundation of our prosperity, our freedom, and our very way of life. But where there is no law, there is no opportunity. Where there is no justice, there is no liberty. Where there is no safety, there is no future. We must never give in to anger or hatred. If malice or violence reigns, then none of us is free. I take these actions today with firm resolve and with a true and passionate love for our country. By far, our greatest days lie ahead. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to pay my respects to a very, very special place. Thank you very much.
After several days of peaceful protests that have left major cities in flames, Democrats have released a new position paper entitled Helping Black Americans by Helping White Americans Feel Better About Not Helping Black Americans. The Democrats say the paper lays out an ambitious, progressive plan to continue doing exactly what they've been doing until the entire country is in ashes. Bane, the Batman comic supervillain and chairman of the Democrat National Committee, released the paper to those of his minions who call themselves the press in an attractive folder with a cover depicting a gothic scene of chaos captioned, "Our Vision for the Future." The plan includes the following points. 1. Young white men will dance to exciting rap music glorifying black violence and degrading black women, and then return home to their moms and dads to prepare for college, while young black men in broken homes learn to glorify violence and think badly of women. 2. White men will apologize to blacks for generations of bigotry and then return home to their wives and children, while blacks return to their crime-filled neighborhoods thinking to themselves, "Wow, they sure apologized to us, didn't they?" 3. Elites will teach blacks that their country was founded on racism and despises them, so they have no chance to have a good life through education, hard work, and good behavior. Then the elites will return to the great jobs they earned through education, hard work, and good behavior, while blacks despair because they think their country despises them. 4. Whites will encourage blacks to demonstrate about things everyone already agrees about, and will then encourage violence at those demonstrations to show how woke they are while destroying black people's property and reputation. And 5. Whites will encourage blacks to vote against Donald Trump, who might saddle them with those nasty jobs working for the white man for money and dignity. After releasing the document, Bain urged all Americans to continue wearing a mask like his, to protect from disease and to represent ultimate evil.
Okay. Why am I still not on the air? Oh, there I am. Victory. Okay. All right. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Technology making our lives easier. But you know what? We just press on. Good to be here with you. You heard the president. And that was yesterday. The night before, D.C. was ravaged with the typical violence that we see, have seen, rather, in just about every single solitary major city that's controlled by Democrats here in the United States. Yeah, Democrats controlled Los Angeles, Democrat mayor, Democrat governor. New York, Democrat mayor, Democrat governor. Atlanta, Democrat mayor, maybe Republican governor, but Democrat mayor. Let's see, where else? We'll just pick a city. Missouri, Democrat mayor, Democrat governor, where this all started. Every place this is going on, it's going on because the Democrat politicians, the embedded, longtime embedded Democrat politicians allow it to. Charlotte, North Carolina, the chief of police said she's not going to order her police officers basically to protect and serve, because that's what cops do, okay, to serve and protect. And she said, maybe you say serve and protect. I say, meh. And so now they don't. So what is that saying? It's saying it's up to you, citizens. It's up to you. So Democrat-controlled cities burn. Businesses, black businesses, oh yeah, black businesses, looted and burned. Innocent people killed, innocent people beaten. Neighborhoods, jobs, community relationships destroyed, and Nancy Pelosi and all the Democrat leaders that you Democrats vote for year in and year out rejoice. I can promise you that the governors of these states where all this is happening and the mayors of these cities where all this is happening, couldn't care a tinker's damn about any of you. No. No. All those businesses that undoubtedly were destroyed during the lockdown and are still in the process of being. Oh, by the way, Of course, I guess these looters always wear masks anyway, so they're not working on that social distancing too great though. The masks, yeah, I'm gonna give them about a B, C minus, high B, low B for the masks. But on the social distancing, not good, guys, not good at all. So if Democrat mayors are cool with these people rioting and looting, that ought to tell you right there, that whole quarantine thing was nothing but a bucket of was junk, man. Was junk. Y'all need to pray for me because I've been cussing too much on this show. Benford's going to think I'm a heathen again, that I backslid. But seriously, I mean, right there, here's all the proof you need. If quarantine was so serious, these people would be locked down in a heartbeat. If that was for real, these people would be locked up. But they're not, because quarantine wasn't, it was nothing, man. It was just a thing that they told you. That's all it was. Smoke and mirrors. Theater. And so many people bought into it. But I digress. So, you know, all this stuff's running crazy in Democrat-controlled cities all over America. Democrats have no intention of doing any damn thing about it. The president has said, mayors, governors, you guys need to rein this in. This is a cancer on the entire country, and it's not working. And innocent people are getting hurt over and over again. Businesses are getting trashed. You know, it just is a terrible – properties being destroyed is a terrible thing. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's mostly black people's properties and businesses. Yeah. Just like Andrew Klavan said. You know, these white elitists, these suburban stooges, they go out, they co-opt these people. Yes, Gary, you might think I'm a heathen. He's with me at all times, man. He's with me at all times. God and Gary, both of them. I'm never away from either one of them. So all this stuff happens in these cities, terrible things. Washington, D.C. was no exception. These were the president's comments the day after. And after that, he leaves the White House. And he goes to St. John's Church, presidential church. You know, a lot of presidents have been to that church. And he's there. And, you know, he has his mother's Bible. And I want you guys to understand me very clearly on this. I have said many times that so much of politics is theater. I'm getting ready to illustrate a point here. It was a brilliant move. It was a gutsy move. It was a move that you and I, as Americans, needed to see. We needed to see it in the worst way. And that was, of course, you know, the president walking down to his group and going to see the damage done to St. John's. Has his Bible. He says this is going to end. He's going to bring a stop to this. And here's what happens. The left. The left poops themselves. They are still pooping themselves. They can't get over what he has done. The shamelessness of it. The vacuousness. The shallowness. The cynicism. This photo op. And what they do, and they enhance this story by lying, CNN, naturally, saying that, you know, the cops went down through there with tear gas and rubber bullets and samurai swords and switches and orange pieces of Hot Wheel track, and they beat these protesters, these peaceful, justice-seeking protesters. Well, it's not true. None of that happened. They just moved them out. They moved them out. That's all there was to it. They didn't use tear gas. The park police said they didn't use tear gas. They didn't use batons. They didn't do any of that. They moved them out. And so the president goes. And the media, CNN, this is lying SOBs, ABC, MSNBC, CBS, all the alphabets, all of them, they're all there, and they have to, they don't have any choice. They have to give the president this brilliant photo op, and it makes them insane. It's like holy water on their skin. And so they decry it. They scream bloody murder. They lose their minds over it. Now, we know that that's what they're going to do. And we know that there is a percentage of the population, and I see it on my very own news feed, people I know. And quite honestly, it wounds my heart. But people I know, they bought into this. They buy into it. And these are the same people. You know, the hypocrisy here is unbelievable. For one thing, we have the president. This is good political theater. This is solid political theater. It is unbelievable imagery. It's polarizing. If you love the guy, it's going to live forever with you. It's another one of those extremely presidential moments that you look at him and you go, hey. He's still my dude. He meant what he said. He's still doing what he said he was going to do. If you hate him, it is one of those presidential moments that will live forever. Just like every time he slaps down a journalist or a political opponent, or he speaks his mind or says something, is ridiculed and then later proven right. It'll live with you too. It was an important thing to see. It was a good thing to see. It was a heartening and an encouraging thing to see. Now, I said I would contrast this. I'm going to contrast this. Joe Biden takes a knee. He's going to lead the conversation on this country's pain. Joe Biden. Great humanitarian man. Joe Biden also said that this is the one that gives me. And there was a photo op, and it's got Joe, and he's on his knee. And he's wearing a mask, and he's 6 foot away from a black dude who was also on his knee, not wearing a mask. This is the Democrat leader. This is the leading political light in the Democrat Party, Joe Biden. In a related matter to the riots, and basically in these Democrat cities, they're told, hey, you know, the police are told, don't do nothing. Yeah, but you're burning up. Yeah, we know. Don't do anything, okay? Hey, listen, somebody's leaving pallets of bricks all over the place, and they're throwing them, and they're hitting, they're breaking glass, and they're hurting people. Yeah, don't do anything. Joe says, and I'm not making this up, Joe says that police training would change for the better. It would be improved if their training included teaching officers to shoot unarmed people in the leg rather than firing a fatal shot. These comments, no, this is not Babylon Bee. This is not me just being stupid and making some stuff up. No, this is real. These comments were made at a meeting at Bethel Church in Wilmington, Delaware. They're talking about the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. And the excuse that this has provided for the violence that has swept this nation in its response. There are a lot of things that can change regarding police training, Biden told community leaders moments before suggesting that officers should aim for non-lethal wounds in a suspect's extremities. One of those things is how police react when being charged by an unarmed person. Although, yeah, and I'm not making this up either, the unarmed person that Biden describes has a knife or something. No. You're being charged by an unarmed person that's got a knife or something. You know, shoot him in the leg instead of the heart. It's a very different thing. Not making it up. Swear to God, I'm not making it up. So if the police officer were in a situation, he's confronted with an unarmed person who has a knife or something. No, he really said it. I swear to God. The unarmed person who has a knife or something that's charging them, we're going to whip out that service pistol and we're going to shoot him in the leg. Now, 20 years ago, yeah, God, holy cow, 20 years ago, I did a couple of years as a massage therapy instructor. And part of my responsibility was to teach anatomy, physiology, musculoskeletal anatomy. And it was like a freshman college class. It wasn't that involved, but they have an understanding, you know, a little bit of the body and how it worked in its various systems. So in the leg, I know I'm not a doctor, but I used to tell chicks that I was one when I was in a bar. In the leg, there is an artery, a huge artery called the femoral artery. And this artery basically supplies through the various arteries in the arterioles and then the capillaries, the blood flow to the leg. That's what it does. It's important. Okay. It's like the carotid artery. It's like the aorta. It's like the abdominal aorta. It's like it's huge. It's a big major blood vessel, either carrying blood away from the heart down to the body. Well, if you shoot somebody in the leg, because that's not a very large area, okay, it's not a very large target as opposed to the body, which is, you know, the chest and the abdomen and shoulders. You run the risk, a very great risk, especially with a large caliber handgun and hollow point ammunition, which means it expands on contact, of hitting the femoral artery, severing the femoral artery, and within minutes, blood loss, loss of consciousness, and death. Boom. Just like that. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what the odds would be in terms of, which do you have a better shot at surviving? A gunshot wound to the chest or a gunshot wound to the femoral artery while you're laying around kicking and screaming. This officer is not going to be in a hurry, and he may not be predisposed, since, you know, you were an unarmed person coming at him with a knife or something. He might not be predisposed to help you. You bleed out and die because Joe Biden thinks that's a better idea. Good old Joe. Well, hell, I mean, why stop there? Why don't we all just send them to the Lone Ranger school of police science and teach them how to shoot the weapon out of their hand? Right? That's what the Lone Ranger would do. Pow! Ah, God, he got my hand. He shot the gun right out of Blackie's hand. Yeah, why don't, let's just do that. Mother of pearl. Jesus wept. Okay, well, we're down to the bottom of the hour, and that's just fine by me. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, a little musical interlude here, and we will be back with more of a conservative's perspective as I roll on through here trying to find something to listen to, and just not seeing anything that sends me. So I'll just keep talking aimlessly like this. And I haven't forgot about you, Nipples. I haven't forgot about Governor Nipples either. We're going to get to him too, and a lot of these idiots that, you know, I'm sure Cuomo just was jumping up and down. He thinks we're going to forget about his crimes against humanity in the mass murder of senior citizens in the States. No, Nipsey. No, baby. We're not going to ever forget that. We will be back with more of conservatives' perspective after a few tunes.
This is the city. Los Angeles, California. Some people rob for pleasure. Some rob because it's there. You never know. My name's Friday. I'm a cop. I was working the day watch out of robbery when I got a call from the Acme School Bell Company. There'd been a robbery.
There's been a robbery.
Yes, sir. What was it?
My clappers.
Your clappers?
Yeah, you know those things inside a bell that makes them clang?
The clangers.
That's right. We call them clappers in the business.
A clapper caper.
What's that?
Nothing, sir. Now, can I have the facts? What kind of clappers were stolen on this caper?
They were copper clappers.
And where were they kept?
In the closet.
Uh-huh. You have any ideas who might have taken the copper clappers from the closet?
Well, just one. I fired a man. He swore he'd get even.
What was his name?
Claude Cooper.
You think he...
That's right. I think Claude Cooper copped my copper clappers. Kept in the closet.
You know where this Claude Cooper is from?
Yeah. Cleveland.
That figures. That figures.
What makes it worse, they were clean.
Clean copper clappers.
That's right.
Why do you think Cleveland's Claude Cooper would cop your clean copper clappers kept in your closet?
Only one reason.
What's that?
He's a kleptomaniac.
Who first discovered the copper clappers were copped?
My cleaning woman, Clara Clifford.
That figures. Now let me see if I got the facts straight here. Cleaning woman Clara Clifford discovered your clean copper clappers kept in a closet were copped by Claude Cooper, the kleptomaniac from Cleveland. Now, is that about it?
One other thing.
What's that?
If I ever catch kleptomaniac Claude Cooper from Cleveland who copped my clean copper clappers from kept in the closet...
Yes?
I'll clobber him.
Hey. That is called alliteration, Mr. and Mrs. America, and it takes tremendous talent as well as elocution to pull it off. And you just saw an excellent example of it. Jack Webb, of course, with Johnny Carson doing it with the copper clapper caper. Before that, if we have a video component to this show, I am going to be in trouble, because if we did have a video component to the show, you would have caught me doing the Bat Toosie for the last song. A couple superhero TV shows that I grew up with, of course, Al Hurt doing the theme from The Green Hornet. You talk about a trumpet player? Okay, let's talk about him. There's a lot of great ones out there, but they're all old. Al Hurt, well, he's dead. Herb Alpert, Maynard Ferguson, I think Maynard's still around. I don't know if he's working anymore or not. He may be. He's got to be close to 100. Dizzy Gillespie, great trumpet players. Al Hurt was one of them. And that was the Brian Setzer Orchestra doing the theme from Batman there and straight up killing it. We're back. How in the world are you? You know... Back to Joe Biden and that hypocrisy. And like I said, I have seen memes that have just savaged the president about what happened there. And it's nothing more than sour grapes. They did not have any choice. They had absolutely no choice whatsoever but to go and follow him on this walk to St. John's, where he upholds the Bible and reassures to the rest of us normal-ass Americans, that this is not going to go unchecked, that this lawlessness, this wanton violence and destruction, this communist revolution, okay? What the hell do you think Antifa is? It's Marxism. Like our pal Gary Benford says, it's cultural Marxism. It's been around for a long time. They've been doing it for a long time. Antifa is their militant arm. Oh, while I'm thinking about it. Minnesota's governor, whose name escapes me and undoubtedly isn't worth mentioning because they're probably, you know, like Whitmer, like Nipples, like Murphy, just another nameless, faceless, Marxist, Democrat stooge that's allowing their state to be destroyed because they think it's going to hurt Donald Trump in November. You fools. Oh, my God. Did you back the wrong horse? Anyway, they say, when they had their press conference, Governor Minnesota, it's the Klan, man. It's the neo-Nazis. It's white supremacists who are doing all this. They're the ones that are fomenting the violence. Oh, yeah, that's what they said. And so to rephrase what they're saying and what they would have you believe is that the KKK, the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, the Aryan Brotherhood, the whoever they are these days that they try to paint as you and me, you and I, they're the ones behind this. They're the ones who are so upset that a white cop killed a black man. Okay. My next question, which I saw today, posted by a friend of mine. If it's white supremacists that are really behind all this, why are Hollywood celebrities bailing them out? I don't know. They just, there you go. Not dead air. I'm still here. I'm just. Oh God. Oleg Atbashian, who is the man behind the People's Cube, a great website. If you haven't gone to this website, do yourself a favor. After we get done, of course, or just take me with you. But anyway, it's a terrific political satire site, and he grew up, I think in Georgia, in the Georgia province of the Soviet Union, there towards the height and tail end of the Cold War. So he's about like the rest of us. He's probably a guy in his early 40s or so, late 40s, early 50s. And he was, it's awesome. He understands exactly what's going on when it comes to communism and socialism. And he had made a comment today that really made me feel validated because it's just nice to know that your perspective is pretty much on the beam. I've been talking with some people over the last few days, and what we have seen in Washington, D.C., in Chicago, in New York, in Philadelphia, in Atlanta, in Los Angeles, in Albuquerque, in any of these Democrat enclaves where we've seen these demonstrations, not demonstrations, damn it, where we've seen this rioting, where we've seen this lawlessness and this violence and wanton destruction. It is not new. I would venture to say it has been tried before. It was 50 years ago, 1967, 68, 69, 70. These were years, and the reason I bring this up is because the average median age in the United States right now is probably about 38 years old. You guys have no clue about it. I'm pretty sure you weren't taught about it unless you were just of an historical bent and did the work yourself because it was something that interested you. You probably don't know about it. In 1966, 67 through 70, those 4 years there was a great deal of political upheaval, of social unrest, civil discourse and political discourse on social policies had descended pretty much into what we see here today. Very little difference. And even go back even earlier, I think the Watts riots were 1965, the race riots in Watts, the civil rights marches in Alabama, Birmingham, Atlanta, Greensboro, Little Rock. So there's a lot of social unrest, but it really came to a head with what we saw on the evening news during the late 60s. A couple of things. And this was one of them. The violence on campus, when students were protesting, had the SDS, of course, the Weather Underground, Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers, those guys. You had, I'm trying to think of who else, the Chicago 7, there were Abby Hoffman, all these people, they fomented this insurrection, and they fomented racial unrest, and they fomented social unrest, and they wanted to tear apart the traditions and the mores of this country, and in its place put this shit. And I promise that's the last time. But that's what they want to replace it with decadence, with anarchy, with socialism, Marxism. And it's so funny. You know, over the weekend, SpaceX, in conjunction with NASA, launched the Dragon suborbital or orbital spacecraft with some guys. The first time NASA's finally, NASA has, and this is another parallel, NASA had gone back to doing what it knew how to do, making rockets, putting dudes on top of them, and getting them in space. Okay? That's what you do. That's what the Space Force needs. And that is the fundamental principle of Starfleet. We got to get out there. We got to go first. We got to get up there. How do we do it? Well, we got a bunch of rockets. Okay. Can we put something on there? We can throw a few dudes in, keep them alive. Yeah, sure we can. Here's what we'll do. I got some engineer. Bang. Get those Nazis. Don't forget, we got to use the Nazis because they had some pretty good ideas. And we did. And we used them for good. We took those ideas that the Nazis had for killing millions of people in England, the V1, the V2 weapons, the vengeance weapons. We took those ideas and we went to the moon with them. We didn't kill people. We didn't harm people. We used it for beneficence, magnanimity, the advancement of humanity. So it's another thing. So SpaceX, and it goes off without a hitch, man. It was textbook. They sent a couple guys up to the International Space Station. Everything went just exactly as it was supposed to go. The booster stage returned to Earth, lands by remote control on a remote control drone landing ship out in the ocean so nobody gets hurt perfectly. So here we have this example of industry, of groundbreaking engineering, of technology, of people being told, no, that's not how you do it. Oh, yeah? I bet we can't, and they do. The best that this country has to offer. Elon Musk, I don't know if he's a crackpot or not. He might be on a lot of things, but he wasn't on this. Everything works, so kudos to him for his effort. Same thing for NASA and people within that bureaucracy there, who still remember that NASA was, you know, started this business of dudes on rockets going into space. Well, in 1969, that was what was going on with Apollo 11, 51 years ago. Protests are taking place, and riots are taking place in urban areas, just like they are now. You're not seeing it too much on campuses right now. Of course, nobody's on campus because they all got sent home during the quarantine. not that it would matter, but you have these parallels, and nothing has really changed. Now, in the interim, from 1967 through 70 till today, there were tremendous strides in equality. And not only that, but more importantly, an understanding, a real dialogue between people of different racial backgrounds and overcoming these things. But along about 2008, things started changing a little bit. And in about 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, we have regressed. Okay, we have seen a degradation back to what we have now. Like I said, this is no different. And in 1968, and then through those early years in the 70s, there was still a lot of this protesting going on. It was about a 7 or 8 year period there. But its intensity, it seems to me, it was, or maybe we just got used to it after 8 years, but it seemed that in those early years, in the late 1960s, it was violent and it was shocking. It was really shocking. I remember seeing Robert F. Kennedy laying on the floor of the kitchen there at the hotel in Los Angeles after he'd been shot. Cops, National Guardsmen turning fire hoses on rioters, anti-war rioters, and it was 6-year-old kid. It was a pretty shocking thing to see. But at that time, 1968, from 1968 to about 1972, the last years, those last 4 years of that period, there was an incumbent Republican president in office as well, Richard Nixon. And history bears out, as a lot of political analysts will tell you, that kind of stuff reelected Richard Nixon. Not that he was this great conservative, not that he was, but he was a Republican, and I guess an establishment type of Republican at that time, which doesn't necessarily mean. And in those days, conservative was Barry Goldwater, Republican. And Goldwater was a great man, and Nixon was no Barry Goldwater, but he was a Republican. He was an incumbent president, and he got reelected. It was a group called the Silent Majority. Man, this is flowing really well. I'm surprised. And this Silent Majority that Nixon referenced in a couple of speeches there, us, Mr. and Mrs. America, who get up in the morning, they get their kids ready for school, they go to work, they come home, they have dinner, they take care of things around the house, they pay their taxes, they don't break any laws. They want to be left alone. Ooh, exactly. Exactly. They want to be left alone. They want to make a living. They don't want to pay a whole lot of taxes. They don't want anybody bothering them. They want nice, quiet streets and neighborhoods. They don't want crime. And these are the people that Nixon claimed that he represented. And that claim obviously was true because he won in a landslide over McGovern in 1972. And the rest, as we know, is history. But what happened in that period? Well, all these protests and all this violence and all this destruction and all this needless rending of our societal tapestry – resonated violently with that silent majority at the ballot box. And not just on a national level, it was on a state and local level as well. That was 50 some years ago. And don't take my word for it. Go back and check. But what happened? Well, here's another example of what happened then and what I believe is happening now.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Yeah. I don't care who you are. It may not be literally happening. Okay? People may not literally be throwing their heads out the window and saying, I was mad at you. Maybe they should. Maybe they should. But it's a soul going to a spiritual window and throwing it up and sticking their soul head out that window and saying this. And saying they're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. The soul has had it. Just like those souls had it in 1972. Don't take my word for it, man. Check it out. Go look it up. Derek Chauvin killed Floyd George just as sure as you and I are sitting here talking about it. There's no question. And it does not matter if it was a racist thing. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I had a conversation about this with my friend Gary Benford, and you know, my opinion hasn't really changed. I think this is the way that guy operated. I think that he was one of those cats that was a cop because he got off on the gun and the taser and body armor and restraint moves and being the badass. And I don't think it would have mattered who was under that cat's knee. I really don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, one thing's for sure, an innocent man died at the hands of a corrupt cop. Racism, no racism. That's exactly what happened there without question. Beyond that, speculation, but it doesn't even matter because it's been decided that it was a racist crime, and opportunists, the ever-vigilant cultural Marxists, seized upon it, just as they seize upon it every time a black man dies at the hands of the police, especially if it's a white police officer. Even though white people are killed by cops more than black people, according to FBI statistics, but we're not going to get into that. We're just talking about this. It's used now. This incident has been used and sold as a racist incident. And it's being paid for in cash, in blood, in heartache, in destruction. Businesses that are never going to return. Community relationships that will never be the same for generations. For what? For what? Because George Floyd died? Because Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd? But if that's the case, and this is the price that has to be paid, why are other innocents being made to pay? Isn't it enough that one innocent guy was killed? Isn't it enough that one innocent dude suffered? I mean, isn't that the point? Is that the innocent shouldn't suffer? That the innocent shouldn't be treated like this by anyone? Right? No, that's not right. No. It wasn't uncommon for those of you who remember for National Guard troops to be called out to put down these uprisings, these riots. And just like the president said, it's these people, it's the Antifa types, it's those that get off on the violence and the chaos and the fear and the anarchy. They drown out the voice of a legitimate protester. Peaceful protests, peaceful demonstrations, peaceful assembly never, ever, 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 never, ever includes killing people, breaking things, or burning stuff. Not ever, not once, not the first time. Because then they're not peaceful, are they? No, they've become violent. And then it's not a demonstration. If it becomes violent, it is a riot. But these people are just seeking justice, man. They just want some justice. Violence, as they say, and they never finish the quote. Violence is the voice of the unheard, Dr. King says. Is the language of the unheard. Here's the quote in its entirety. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It's failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It's failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots, because when was this, when did he say this? 1967. He was at Stanford. As long as America postpones, in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. Justice. When justice is meted out, so what's he talking about? Well, there are a lot of broken things in our system. Law enforcement's one of them. I don't think by this time, you can deny or you can argue, really, that there are serious flaws in the training regimen, in our law enforcement system. And I'm not talking about the justice system, although there are a number of flaws there as well. I'm just talking about the kind of people there is a certain negative element, excuse me, of toxic individuals that is attracted to this type of work for just the reasons I said. And I'm not exactly sure that law enforcement agencies do as responsible a job as they should in terms of vetting these people. A lot of guys I know went to be cops are solid dudes. They wanted to be cops because they wanted to help people. They wanted to be in a position to what? Serve and protect. It's right there on the side of Adam 12's car, man. Reed Malloy. It's right there on the side of the car. That's what they wanted to do. 9 times out of 10, because they watched shows about guys like Reed and Malloy or Friday and Gannon or Gage and DeSoto, and that's why they wanted to become first responders, so they could be in there and help and do the right thing. However, some of the wrong people get involved in that business too. And Derek Chauvin is an excellent example of some of the wrong people. We all know him. So that's something that has to be addressed. I don't know that it ever truly has effectively been addressed in the 50 years since Dr. King made those remarks. I'm not exactly sure it will be after this. You would think it would, because we have more and more examples all the time, especially with technology advancing the way it is. Everybody's got a camera now. Everybody videos everything now. And we see more and more incidents of this. So at some point, you would think that it would reach, a level of critical mass to where they would say, man, we've got to do some serious reformation in our recruitment and training policies, and we're going to have to start looking a lot more closely at some of these cats psychologically. That's all there is to it. You can't afford. And they're all over the place, and I'm not saying they're not, and I'm not agreeing with it, and I don't think it's a good thing. Guys like Derek Chauvin are all over the country. They're all over the map. They're in every county. They're in every city. They're in every, they're in every state. They're everywhere. They're a deputy sheriff. They're a city police officer. They're a state trooper. They're a highway patrolman. They're everywhere. And no, it's not good. And something has to be done about it. Because this stuff's not going to change. Because there are going to be people, and rightly so, and they're going to agitate. They're going to exploit this. They're going to exploit these injustices. And it's just going to lead to greater chaos, more violence and destruction. I am 110% totally rock solid in support of justice, whatever that may be, for Floyd George. Equally, I am 110% embedded and just as totally supportive of shooting looters. Just a quick shout out to all you small business owners that are out there in harm's way, wherever you might be. I pray for your safety. And if it comes down to it, I pray that your hands are steady and that your aim is true. I also pray that you never have to be put in that position where you've got to protect to that extreme your family or your livelihood. But if you are, my hope is that God is with you. Well. See what else we got to talk about. I don't know. I really didn't think I was going to go on this long, actually. By the way, speaking of the National Guard, you know, we were talking about that. This just came to my mind. How many of you guys remember when Bill de Blasio used the National Guard to quarantine neighborhoods during the virus? You guys remember that? Right? Well, guess who refused to use them to save New York City? Same dude. Absolutely right. How did you? Can you see my? You guys looking at my show prep? No, actually, he did. He uses the National Guard to keep these people in, locked up in their houses, but he won't use them to save the city, to restore order. No. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. This is going to end soon, folks. To me, it is unbelievably plain. It is unbelievably plain, and it has been since the beginning. These guys have just lost it over Donald Trump. They've lost it. They just went insane. They, honest to God, think that there are going to be absolutely no consequences for what they're doing. None. And you know what? Maybe they're right. There haven't been so far. Hillary Clinton gone to jail yet? No. James Comey gone to jail yet? No. James Clapper? No. John Brent? Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. But you got the idea. By the way, did you know that in 1976, John Brennan voted for the Communist Party USA's presidential candidate, slobbering Gus Hall? By God, he did. How the hell does a guy who votes, who is a Communist Party member, a Communist sympathizer, how does a guy like that wind up head of the CIA? That was a rhetorical question. It's Barack Obama. We know why. Not dead air. I'm still hanging out here, man, just looking things over. We might be wrapping it up after all. This has been a pretty good show. Here's what's going to happen. Oh, North Carolina, the governor of North Carolina has said that the Republicans can't have their convention the way they want to because of coronavirus. So I would expect one of two things is going to happen. Donald Trump is going to go in there and he's going to bend the governor of North Carolina to his will, or they're going to make him look like chumps and they're going to go to Florida where Ron DeSantis will be waiting with open arms. And why not? Why not? All the hotels, all those reservations, all the restaurants, all that money just being shoveled right on down to Florida because North Carolina's got so much, they don't need it. These are unbelievably dense chief executives. It is astonishing to me that these guys occupy but you know, they do. They do. And you know what? They'll probably be reelected. Half Whitmer. There'll probably be enough people reelect her. Sure. Same thing with Newsom. Same thing with Nipples, de Blasio. Well, he's a mayor, but you get the idea. All these cats, they'll suffer a little bit, maybe. But 9 times out of 10, the people that voted for him will vote for him again because that's all the hell they know. It's regrettable, too. Okay, I think we're done. You have been listening to A Conservative's Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do it live twice a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays. Might toss another one in there just for potluck and kicks if I feel like I'm bored and need something to do at some time. But we'll give you a heads up on that. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out over the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you really should be. It's the very best in libertarian and conservative radio out there. We got a couple of places. Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum. I am an admin there with friends Don Ewan and Donna Fiducia. Mojo Five O Radio. The key word here is mojo, is what I'm trying to get across to you. The Mojo 50 Radio Network, the West Virginia affiliate page. You want to check it out. Conservative Perspective, the original page. Then we have the archive page, which I'm slowly resurrecting and putting the Mojo shows after they've been broadcast there for archive listening. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity to be here. Tell your friends. I appreciate all you guys listening. I really do. Thanks for the opportunity to spend a little time with you talking about this stuff. We'll be back Thursday. We'll be back Thursday, conceivably. Lord willing and the river don't rise. Taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. In the meantime, you all, God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. We'll see you then.